until we get the next time I'm coming from coming momentarily. We just want to just finish up really a minute or two of where we had left off in the previous year. So we were talking a lot about how exactly do you define bas mechal in the sense of, is the ikar iser al shem nevosar and the mechal kind of get stuck along, or is the ikar iser really al shem yishnem v'yachad? And that led us to the whole discussion about enis hechal al iser, vis-a-vis the vosar, vis-a-vis the cholav. When all the dust settled, in terms of practically speaking, how enis hechal al iser plays out for us, nicer today, so we came out really with three different nuances for three different areas of bas mechal. You have to always pass it a bas mechal shayla vis-a-vis vosar. I'm sorry, vis-a-vis a bishul, you have to pass it vis-a-vis achila, vis-a-vis hanor. So what does that mean? So when it comes to bishul, bas mechal, we're dealing with besayin avela. So we said, well, there's no enis hechal al iser, there's no enis hechal al iser, besayin avela. So therefore, there would be an iser gomim min haTorah to vashel nevela b'chol. The other hand, to eat nevela b'chol cannot be a violation of achilas bas b'chol because it is chalas. The multi-million dollar question is, what about hanah? You're allowed to derive hanah from something that was beside nevela cooked together with milk. What would it then be? So that's a big machlekes in Mishnayos. So the Rambam has a unique sheet in Perashat Mishnayos, the whole place in Masechet Krisos, where the Rambam says that the isra hanah emanates from isra achila. Means first you have to pass in achila. If and when you pass in achila, then you can pass in hanor. That's why the Rambam writes that since enes achal iser is mafkia the iser achilas bas b'cholov, mil does no iser hanor. And Tosfos and Chulin seem to disagree with that. Tosfos says that there would be an iser hanor, strangely enough, without an iser achila. My nafkamina, a huge nafkamina for dog food. What's the din? I walk in the store, I go to the store, I want to buy a bag of dog food. I look at the ingredients, it says beef and milk. So the odds are it's probably not. Besar shchuta, I highly doubt that the dog food company is paying the extra prices to get kosher meat. So therefore, it's obviously so. It's clearly talking about besar nevela. So what would even be would besar nevela b'cholov be also b'hanor or not? So according to Shittas Rambam, no, because if it's not also b'achila, it's not also b'hanor. And according to Tosfos, the answer most probably would be yes, but it can be also b'hanor. It's big enough for Miladina. Happen not to own a dog, but if you own a dog, that's a pretty big nafkamina ladina. But another nafkamina ladina is that, can I get hana from cheeseburgers? Say, person wants to, he wants to be a waiter. I don't think Burger King has so many waiters, but he wants to be a waiter in a restaurant that's serving bas mechalav. Is that a problem? So let's say, putting aside all the other issues of Maris, I lives in the middle of Montana. He's got a summer job. I once had a town in Montana, in the middle of nowhere. And he wanted to take a summer job as a waiter in a trade for restaurant. So what's the deal? So if it's a trade for restaurant serving lobster, that's okay. If it's serving just the ham, that's okay. But if it's serving ham and cheese, that's okay. But if it's serving beside the ham and cheese, so the question is that called the nana? I'm going to be deriving benefit potentially from basa b'chol. Is that a problem or not? So according to the Ram, that's okay. According to the Ram, that's not an issue being nana because enes achal iser knocks out the iser achila. And the melech, there's no iser achila, there's no iser hanah. If you hold like Tosfos that the iser hanah stands on its own 2 feet, then you can have an iser hanah even in the absence of an iser achila. And that was just literally the shirayin from last week. Okay, was that 1 second? Okay, so we're going to begin now the new sugya. So the background where our new sugya was the Gemara's attempted solution to a problem that we encountered at the end of last sugya. It was discussing about the issue of Efshel Sochto and Chinasas Vela. And the Gemara talked about the following scenario: and having a piece of meat that falls into a tremendous, tremendous pot of milk. And the meat is bottled. The meat is not giving off any time into the milk, but the milk is getting into the meat, and the meat is usher, and the milk that gets stuck inside the meat is usher, and out some of that milk may ooze back out and usher the rest of the milk. So that was the Gemara raised the question, hey, wait a second, why doesn't that happen? The Gemara Rav seemed to ignore that from happening. So the Gemara made a question, why doesn't that happen? That when the meat falls into the milk, so some of the milk goes into the meat goes into the milk, and now that milk itself becomes ulcer, and that milk should pose a problem. So if we take a look back, and the first that remember comes, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's not a problem. The other one, because of Rav Chav Nami Yosef, V'hocha Ma'eskina, That the piece of meat, the small piece of meat, fell into a pot of milk, but not just any pot of milk, a boiling pot of milk. It's a cauldron of milk, it's boiling, the meat fell in, and therefore, we usually think the more heat, the worse things are. This is one of those quirks of Yerodea, that the more heat, the better things may be. Why? The mevla bola. Niflat lo polat. Gemara says that kol zman, that this pot is boiling, steam's coming out of this pot. So what's happening is as follows. The milk is going into the meat. Yeah, that's true. But you're so worried about the milk coming out of the meat and going right back into the milk. No, that's not happening. Niflat bolat, steaming, boiling for some strange reasons of chemistry and physics, is enabling a bliyah to happen. So the milk is being niflat into the meat. But niflat lo polat. But it's not going back out again. And since it's not going back out again, therefore, you can just remove the piece of meat. You've trapped the milk inside. The boiling has trapped the milk inside. And you don't have to be worried about any problem, any milk exiting back into the milk itself. And you can drink the rest of the milk. Yes, the Gemara, what? Boiling water has that ability to trap things in place. As soon as the boiling stops, so it's gonna dip beneath that point of boiling, then it's gonna be just lavish hot water. If it's regular hot water, it's not gonna have that physical property of stopping the bleas dead in its tracks. And you're gonna have trouble again. And now you're gonna have a new plate then. Let's ask all the milk. So it's going, that you yanked out the piece of meat, Baruch Hashem, just before it was too late. Before it had a chance, to subsequently be maflet. So we can breathe a sigh of relief. The Gemara tells us if you time it properly, you can get the milk locked into place in the meat, and it's never going to exit the piece of meat, and you're going to be good to go. So the question is, wait, hold the fork. What did the Gemara just say? Is anyone following the physics of this? Do we have any chemistry majors in here? Any pre-med gangs? Any science but non-science majors? Anyone knows what a test tube is? Anyone knows what an element is? Dr. Berman, we got to learn this one time back in pre-med, many, many moons ago, okay? So anyone remember the periodic table? Probably more elements now since you learned the high school chemistry. Everybody said, one thing we're just saying, that in the world of chemistry and physics, we are convinced that the boiling of something is not in the state of boiling, not cool, it's boiling hot. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be moss with anything. Nothing's going to come out of something that's mamish boiling. Meflot lo polot. Really? Truly? Tosfos has a very, very remarkable question. Tosfos says, Tema, the second time of goodness. The Dover Hanira Le'inayimu to pull it. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? What in the world does Chazal mean? Boiling things are not maflit? The Chenoist in Yerek, the Kedera, Rosachis, Mishtan, and Maris, and I mean a Yerek. Tosfos says, understand. You take an orange carrot and you put it into a pot of mamish boiling water. The water will turn orange. How is that happening? So the answer is because obviously some of the carrot is being niflat into the water. So Tyson says, oh, but Zoe, that some of the carrot is being niflat into the water. So we just did an experiment. The experiment just failed miserably. This is science on chemistry 101. Everybody knows that even though things are boiling, their plate is coming out. So how could it be what it said? That it's not gonna be muffled. It doesn't make any sense. So Tyson says, you're talking. It cannot be kipshut. There's no way Chazal would have made such a silly statement, so easily refutable. It's not at all what Chazal says. Says Tyson, the end of the second line, the Pirush Rabbein Shmuel, Hadaka Amma Meflot Lopolit, Haino Ad Shehe Saveya Milivloa, Avali Acha She Saveya Chazir Pilot. Rashbam says, the Gemara meant is as follows. It means, changes of the motion of the particles and molecules and the bleeders going in all directions, they're not all happening at the same time. So what does that mean? Says the Rashbam, Kozma, that something is being balea, it's not able to be mafled at the same time. The direction of traffic is going one way. You can't have the traffic going the other way. Again, why this is true in physics, based on Shafi'i, right? This is not even sure that it's true altogether. Rashbam is suggesting this idea in the Gemara. Rather than saying that platelets don't happen in boiling water, which Tosfos says is just absurd, doesn't match up to Matthias at all, platelets happen, but platelets can only happen once the bleas are over. So once the blias are going into the item, so the solid item is receiving blias and it's going to be mafla things out. So kozman that it's being beleya, it's not going to be mafla. That's what the Gemara meant in this case of mead, that the mead is absorbing milk, absorbing milk, absorbing milk, absorbing milk. That's okay. Our problem is only going to begin when the milk leaves the meat and goes back into the pot of milk to ask for the rest of the milk. That's the cause of concern. So to that, the Gemara says, relax, nothing's going to happen because mevlapolit. It means not that mevlapolit in a vacuum. Mevlapolit because mevlapolit. Because it's being balea, therefore it's not going to be mafalit. Once those bleals end, then the plate is going to come shooting out again. Tosa says, and if that's true, now we understand. Let's take a look at the end of the fourth line. Because of this pshat of the Rashbam, the Eisen Kalim Ukaros Asuros, when you have a trefa, clean, you have a trefa, piece of silverware, and you want to kasher it, Kishimagilmos Amazakhir and Gedoyla, so you throw it into a big boiling pot. We always make sure that the water is boiling for kashering. Since the water has to be boiling hot when you kasher, the Rashbam is barred with the technical mitzias problem. I eat a kasher. Holds mind the water is boiling. First the belias have to end until the plaitas begin. But for kashering to be effective, we need plaitas. That's what kashering is. The same way the chaza went in an hour ago, it's got to come out through the hot water. So we need a plate that we need to be mafled. If we're not going to be mafled, then this spoon is going to remain us in the levot. So the Rashbam is scratching his head for, where's the plate? How can the plate happen? The answer is we have to wait. We have to wait for the bleat to end, for the plate to begin. But that's Shana Rashbam. Mevla bola. Kozban the bleas are happening. Kozban the bleas are going in one direction. They're not going out the other direction. So wait a second, how can we have a kasher or anything? So the answer is you have to wait. You can't just throw a spoon in and cook it out in a second. You throw a spoon into the boiling water, leave it there for 2 seconds, you don't even know that the bli has ended yet. So if you don't know the bli has ended, you know the plate has started. So it must be, you have to wait. So it says, Tosfos, really? Says Tosfos, Where's the stopwatch on your plate? Anyone please have Ruach HaKodesh and tell me at what point, look at that spoon and say, yep, yeah, blias are done. Okay, now it's plate the time. Maybe not. Maybe it needs another 20 minutes to be mafled. I have no idea. Lo Shema doesn't mean. Says that we've been kashering Caleb for over 3,000 years. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we've been kashering Caleb. Lo Shema doesn't mean. And somebody should say, you know, you have to leave it in longer and longer and longer and longer and longer, lest the blia didn't end, not enabling the plate to stop. So Tais says the whole thing doesn't seem to fly. What's the Gemara? So the Gemara meant something. The Gemara didn't say, it wasn't a joke. The Gemara meant Mevla Bola, Mevla Bola. So to take a kipshut though that, sorry, boiling, when things are boiling, plates don't happen. Finished, that's ridiculous, because that was disproven by the carrot in the water experiment. Remember the Rashbam's pshat that Mevla Bola, because the blias haven't ended yet, that's disproved. Hilchos Hechshekelim seems to throw a monkey wrench in. What is Pshat the Gemara? So Rabbeinu Tam takes it and makes it a temple in this Gemara. But Rabbeinu Tam back to the places. Hadiko Amar Acha, Mevla Bola, Mevla Bola, Hainu Lopolit Mashabola Achsha, of a Mashaya Balua Mikaidem, Polit. This place is a brand new Pshat. Mevla Bola, Mevla Bola means that something that just came in now, it's not going to go out so fast if it's boiling. But if it's been around here for days, for hours, for 10 minutes ago, it's not this blia. It's a previous blia, Easy come, went in an hour ago, and come right out, even in the state of boiling water. So therefore, Benetam breathes a sigh of relief. Therefore, we understand why when you cook carrots, the water turns orange. Because the blias were here from long, the carrot dye is inside the vegetable for a long time. So it's going to come out immediately. Well, let's say in the case of kashering the spoon, the bleas have been inside the spoon already for 10 hours. So they're going to come out the second you throw them in. You don't have to wait like the Rosh Bam. Imagine the following scene. the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam's mother, okay, asked the two young boys, please cash in the cable, right? Please take care of these spoons. A couple of spoons got traced up a little bit, you know. The boys were learning late at night together, discussing things that only the Rashbam and the Tam would have discussed. And by mistake, one of them took a milk spoon and stuck it into a pot of a chicken soup, and took a fleshing spoon to stir their coffee to keep them up going late at night with the milk. And So first of all, they were probably fighting about his own Ibrahim tribution anyway. So the Rashbam said, forget about it. And the Tam's problem. It's a vicious life. So now the mother, Heiliger Rebbetzin, the mother, Ema Von Smechem, Rashbam Ben Adam, asked the two sons to please cash in the spoon. So the Rashbam's standing there with the spoon and putting it in, and he's waiting till for 20 minutes. He said, I can't just leave the spoon in. You got to leave it in for a long time, because Mabel Bola Mifel Mapola, because platers don't come out until all the bleers are done. And the Rabbi Adam is saying, my older brother, Rabbi Shmuel, we got to go back to writing a Tosfos. I said, we don't have time to sit around watching spoons. Rabbi Adam says, you don't have to wait for the spoons for Diaz Goyal. He said, Mabel Bola Mifel Mapola just means that the bleers that are coming in now have to wait. But the bleers that were here from an hour ago, they're perfectly okay. So here the two brothers are fighting on how long you have to mice and leave the spoons in. According to Rashbam, me and they, and nobody knows the shia, how long you have to leave spoons in to cash in them. Rabbi Adam says, there is no shia, throw them in and yank them out right away and get back to work. Know their mother was.
According to Rabbi Tam, when the case of the meat and milk, isn't the milk the bleels there from beforehand? So wouldn't it go right into the meat? Or the meat go right into the milk? Because the bleels were there from beforehand.
No, this is all the same thing. No, this is all vazachas. It's all starting and throwing the meat inside the pot of milk. So that's all called the mevel balls are the same terebus, so to speak. Rabbi Natan is saying what was here from an hour ago is going to come out right away. But what's coming in now is going to be on hold until the bleels are over. That was Rabbi Natan's speech. Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam had a very, very, very special mother. You know who she was?
Daughter of Rashi.
Yeah, Rashi's daughter. So she probably told both of them and said, wait a second, man, my tata used to kasha Kalim, Rashi used to kasha Kalim also. So he didn't wait so long. So I don't know. Interesting dynamics of the family. And I don't know what Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam's sister had to say about it. She was also a very famous personality. You know who she was?
But wouldn't the meat, though, be the same as the carrot?
Yeah, I'm still in the family tree of Rashbam and Benetam. Hold on. So the Benetam and the Rashbam's sister was the Ri's mother. So also very Chosh Rebetzin. So all the Malay Taisos were all interrelated to one another. I'm sorry, I'll be more important about the carrots. Yeah, what?
Wouldn't the buster be the same as the carrot as soon as you put it in the, like when you put the carrot in the water, it starts becoming orange. So the...
Orange has been in the carrot for the last 6 months since the carrot grew. Here, the milk just went into the meat it's the same hot pot. That's what the Rabbi Natan was bothering.
But there was still no heat but with the color of orange in the carrot.
No, that boiling water, again, for some deep, dark secret Rabbi Natan holds, that boiling water somehow has that ability to stop simultaneous bleeds and platelets. Again, This is very, very hard for me to understand. I don't want to be mighty laws and anybody's chatting to Gemara, but I don't understand. That's his first trying to understand the Rashbam. I don't understand any of this. I don't know what the Gemara means. But Mevla Bala Mevla Bala. This special don't. I don't understand. It's very hard to say as far as in general don't always work necessarily in outside of Tyson. This is what the science experiment is supposed to be, but it's not. I'm not sure. But back to that story. The bottom line is, the Gemara said something again, where Karem Ishtachmi Makabablev Shalom Chazal knew what they were talking about. They understood much, much better than we do. But again, it's just hard for me to grapple with anyone the Pshat, with the Rishonim. You see, we're struggling. The Rishonim is struggling with the Pshat. The Rishonim themselves weren't sure what the Gemara mean, because wherever you turn these Pshat, they don't seem to correspond to what we're normally familiar with. So it's kind of hard to understand what this Gemara means. But it meant something. So now Tosfos comes up with an unbelievable suggestion in the name of Rabbi Natan that they reject fairly quickly. But it's fascinating that they even discussed it as a possibility. And Tosfos said that maybe we could use this idea of Rabbi Natan, that Mevla Bola, Mevla Bola, because it's being Balea now, of something right now, and therefore keep it bafle right now. Could that be part of the answer to one of the deepest, darkest mysteries in the world of Chulin Yerushalayim? It's a mystery that we have spoken about many, many times. Those who are with us back in the Pesachim Shir, I think we said Lashon Yochid, Dr. Berman, who's back with us in the Pesachim Shirim, many, many moons ago. I think June's amount of Pesachim. We got a year from you on that one, Dr. Berman. Remember that? I think it was 2011. That sound ring a bell? I think it was June 2011.
Sounds right. Sounds right.
I think it was the only reason I remember is because my father passed away and we were learning Pesachim. It was June 2011. So we had gotten up to about Chavtes or so in Pesachim. We didn't start on the base. We started on the Chafal at that time. So hopefully this year we'll start on the base. It's coming year. But then we learned from Chafal to Chavtes. And then June's about we learned the Sugis of Heksha Kalim, which appear, a whole blot of Heksha Kalim appear in the middle of the second part of Pesachim. So there is this age-old problem in Heksher Kalim, which is something that we spoke about then in great detail. We spoke about this year many, many times also. And that is the big dilemma about Heksher Kalim, is that every time you have Kasha Kalim through Hagala, what should happen? Everybody say? So easy come, easy go. That complicates the issue already. But the basic question is, what goes out, should what? You go right back in again. So you have this grandiose principle called Hagala. I throw my spoon into a pot of boiling water. All the bleas come rushing out. So imagine I can actually see what was going on. Right? Imagine if I could really, really see, you know, bleas. What a world it would look like. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world in such a way that we can't see Mazikin, we can't see the shaving. Because if we were able to see, you know, those different forces, wherever the world they are, we would just go crazy. We wouldn't be able to function. So there are certain forces, there are certain things around the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu just didn't give Basvadam the koich to be able to see. But Moshe says, don't think they're not there. There are billions and trillions all over, wherever you go, they're there. And they cause all kind of havoc. At the beginning of Brachos, they cause all kind of destruction and Maislach. They turn the world upside down. But nobody can actually see them, at least with the naked eye, but they're there anyway. Many, many years ago, so I think Rav Soloveitchik had suggested this idea that perhaps the world of Nigla, we can understand that when Chazal was speaking about Shadim and Mazikin, so they're referring to what we call today viruses. That was as a suggestion that they seem to meet some of the criteria that Chazal is describing. There are billions of them out there. Any place, if you... Hopefully nobody right now is exhaling any particular one kind of virus these days, but I imagine there are an awful lot of different things in the air that are being exhaled. Am I correct in that?
Correct.
Anytime you're exhaling,
yes.
There are billions of them, and Baruch Hashem, nobody can see them with the naked eye. And if you would be able to see them, you would probably go crazy because you feel like you were being, being attacked by billions of little microbes or whatever. Am I correct for that assessment?
Yeah, we see all the pictures on the news. So yeah,
yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, they actually look like that. They look like little Martians or something. It would be pretty scary. Right? So I guess and they definitely meet the criteria of causing a lot of trouble. So
yeah,
that's
sure.
That's for sure. So again, fascinating insight from Aaron. And I think it's written up somewhere. You can try to get that. Maybe it's written online or something. But anyway, get back to our story. So bleas are kind of like that. Like, you can't really see bleas. I mean, I'm kind of looking at the spoon. But if you had this, you have that X special blea vision, you'd be able to be Superman, you'd be able to see all the bleas. So you would see unbelievable amount of stuff going out of that spoon. And then you would be shaking your head and saying, wait a second. Wait, quick, stop. Because all those bleas just went out and coming right back in again, and I got to change spoon again. What do I do? So this is the age-old question. How do you deal with that problem? We spoke about multiple solutions to that problem. So Thaisis quotes in the Nehru Ben Adam a potentially fascinating solution to that problem, based on Agamar, believe it or not. Agamar we don't understand, but Nehru Ben Adam understands. But there's understanding. Adam says that maybe what's happening is as follows, that everything is shooting out of the spoon. Bleas inside the spoon, so it's shooting out of the spoon, and Kol Zman that it's shooting out of the spoon into the water, it can't what? It can't go back inside the spoon. What did Rav Adam just do? What's the name of our sugya? Our sugya is called Mevla Bola Mefla Lopolat, right? What did Rav Adam just do for us? He's just renaming the sugya. He said that, well, if mevla bala, mevla bala, then maybe the same is true. Mevla bala, mevla bala. What's the difference? It means basically bleas are going in one, there's a flow of bleas. So if the flow is in, so then it can't go out simultaneously. If the flow is out, then it can't go back in again. So maybe that's what's happening here. The reason why you're allowed a kasha kalim is that the bleas are going out. So the first direction they're going is out. Once they're going out, there's no, this is a one-way street. You can't turn around and get a ticket. It's not going back inside the kalim. Close by the water's boiling. Remember, the whole thing breaks down once the water's not boiling anymore. So according to Benitam, it would be an unbelievable chal that keep the water boiling. Don't cool that water down. You cool the water down, it's going to be a disaster. Keep the water at boil. So as long as it wasn't boil, you're good to go. That Kol's man that it's still coming out, it's not going to go back in again. Now, if that would be pshat, according to Benitam, we would probably want to time kashering. We'd probably want to get the kelim out before it's too late. Unlike the Rishbam, we want to keep them in for longer. Maybe we want to get them out quicker. So Benitam says that would have been unbelievable pshat, unbelievable chapeis na gemara, except that he thinks it's absolutely wrong. Anyone chap? Why? What's wrong? What's wrong with it? Benatam says that the b'mayim tzlulin lo shayach lo b'bliya lo bali ala shemis ari b'hena isa. Benatam says, "When someone says this is not b'liyas. When I kasher a spoon in a pot of water, the b'liyas are not nivla into the water. You nivla into a chaticha. You nivla into a spoon, into a pot." B'liyas are b'liyas through liquid, right? You know this from day one. Liquids take these secretive particles of b'liyas and they force them into a clay. That's what b'liyas are all about. But when you have trefa, when you have these tastes inside a pot of water, and the water is not balua into the water, it's ma'uriv in the water. So it's ma'uriv in the water. It's not b'chol, it's not b'liyas. So the whole mevla bala, whatever animal you want to call this, the words are wrong. The whole notion of not being able to be pilek because it's being mevliya, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Benatam tried, and it fell down. It collapsed. So that svara just doesn't work. The bottom line is, it was a nice idea, it was a nice thought, but it's just not working. Everybody say, When all the dust settles, right? Acharei kichleis hakol, we have three pshatim in our Gemara. We have a Tosas. What was the first pshat? The simple pshat that mevla bala, mevla bala, and Walter said that's wrong. The carrots, the orange carrot juice, just proves that. And the Rashbam's pshat, Tosas said the hechshekem just proves that. There been a Tam's pshat, which Tosas sticks to, but we're not really sure. Really understand it. And Tosas said this grandiose attempt. Hey, let's use a bit of Tam to defend Kasher and Kalim. And what does Tosfos say? Forget it. It's not going to work because the Metzius is wrong. That's not B'liyas. That's the order of the whole thing. Doesn't give you nothing. Rabbi say, it's a little disappointing because we're not quite sure what to do with the Gemara. And the one thing we wanted from the Gemara to help us, Kasher Kalim, is not going to help. But is there anything we could possibly walk away with from the Sugya that can potentially help us from Isa, particularly in that challenge of Kasher Kalim? Is there something we can use that we can extract a little bit from our Gemara that can maybe help us a little bit in terms of kashrut? So there is a Ramban. I don't know if we've got a chance to learn it yet. Ramban and Asugya. It's coming off of the Gemara Maseches Bachim, where Ramban develops for us gevaldik yisrael, a fundamental yisrael. Ramban says, I'm going to solve this problem once and for all of how do you cash the can with Hagola? How do things go out and not go back in again? Says the Ramban, there are two processes of movement of Bliyas. There's Bliya, going into something, and there's Plata, going out of something. These are the words right now. Ramban didn't make up these words. Agamar, Mevla, Bova, Bova. There are two things that are happening. Again, if you look at the picture in your mind, that piece of meat, the piece of meat inside a pot of milk, so there are bleas of milk going into the meat, so the meat is being belaya, and the meat is also being potentially maflit. So when blees go into a solid, that's a blee in. When it goes out, that's a plate out. Says the Ramban, not all liquids necessarily have the ability to do all of those things. And the Ramban develops the yisod based on Agamar, based on other Gemaras, that there may be a fundamental difference here between water and other kinds of liquids. And the Ramban suggests the following chiddush, that, you know, we have this pashas the Torah of Hagola. They can't argue that. These two pashas, there's a pashas of Hagola, the pashas of Liba. We know this from day one, the Mishnah, the end of the Zorah. Whatever is derech to Lahagol Yagil, derech to Laban Laban. It's like, that's not even negotiable. That Hagola was part of Amisori from day one. There's a pashas of Hagola. And there's a pashas of Liba, and you have to figure out how to use, when to use which. So munach in the parasha of Hagola is obvious. The Torah says kol devar she'evoy taviv mayim. The notion is that mayim, hot water, has the ability to be magil something. What that means is that boiling water must have that halachic / physical property characteristic to be maflit, because that's what Hagola is. If you think about what is Hagola? The word Hagola, the Sikal Nafshi Eschem. So, like all Giul, it's disgusting, like to throw up, to extract. So, if the Torah is saying that you could use water to be Magil, what the Torah is saying is that water has that Koyach to be Maflit. It's going to be Maflit the Bleas out of the spoon into the water. Says the Ramban, just because something has a koach of maflit, who says it has a koach of mafliya? Who says that water has that ability to take something and to walk it into a clay? How do you know? All the Torah tells us is water has the koach to be maflit. Just because something is maflit doesn't mean it's magia. It's mafliya. Okay. And says the Ramban, if so, then the kasha places the kasha over Yishayim. How could you kasha? How to get it back in again? Is that true? Out, yeah, of inished. Now the Ramban makes it about this. The Ramban, once I just told you that water has certain properties, it has the koach to do X, not to do Y. Other mashkin, they also have sub properties. But unfortunately for the world of Kashrut, it may be the exact opposite properties. And it's very possible that other things, such as hot milk, hot juice, hot wine, things of that nature, may have the exact opposite. They have the koyach to be nivla, but they don't have the koyach to be, everybody say what? To be maflit. Let's take a look at the Ramban for a second, the fourth of the Ramban. Belinir is the fourth one. Belinir is Yakovi Mashirum. Every liquid on its own. Cholav Reseach, Machlik, the Nivlu Bebosar. That the hot milk has the ability to be nivlu into the meat. That's what the Gemara says the meat is also. The Inu Maslin is a Bosar. It doesn't have the ability to be Maslin out of the Bosar. We'll skip a little bit of the Chemetz. Mayim Reitzchin, Maflit and Verim Avlin, B.H. Chayetzibon. Whereas boiling water had the exact opposite. Boiling water, boiling milk are opposites of one another. And therefore, boiling water can be mafliya, but it can't be remafliya in. Now, if you take a look, it says the Ramban, four lines from the bottom, lefika, because of this theory that he just developed for us, ein hagol b'shamini mashkin el b'mayin. Therefore, it follows that you cannot use other liquids, other beverages, to kasha kelim with Hagola. Hagola has to be water. Because the ABCs of Hagola is that you have to have that koyach of lahaflit. If you don't have the koyach of lahaflit, then you can't get into the banner's box. And the Ramban's theory is now bearing out that some mashkin have the koyach lahaflit and not lovely, and some are opposites. So that if you want to do Hagola, you better pick the right mashkin. And guess what? We have documented only one mashkin that meets the mark. What is that? Everybody say? Mayim. That's what. So Can others do it? I don't know, says the Ramban. I don't have any raya that other mashkin can do that. Other mashkin, kenzain, don't have that koyach. You have such a question?
Didn't the Ramban himself say earlier, we learned in the sugya, that the way that it's balea, that's the only way it could come out? So therefore, if it could come out through, if water could be pulled at something, doesn't he have to agree that it could be balea something?
Everyone agrees there's a principle of Kabbalah Kapoto. Kabbalah Kapoto is not referring to the liquid. Kabbalah Kapoto is referring to the method of kasher that you use it. So you have to do Hagola if the balea was through a mayim, then you do Hagola. If the balea was through Eish, then you leave it. There's a machlekes haposkim about, does Kabbalah Kapoto also refer to degree of heat of kasher? That's a big machlekes. Let's say the Gemara says that in order for the libum to be effective, it has to be very, very, very high temperature. So what if I can't reach that high temperature, but I know for a fact that I never reached such a high temperature all the years I used the oven? Now, the days of Chazal, that was impossible to know, but today I know that I have the thermostat in my oven, so my oven cannot get above 500. It's never going to get to 700 degrees. But if I know for a fact my oven never, ever, ever physically reached 700, if I get it up to 700, I figure out a way to get it to 700, not through the oven, go something to make it 700, so then by definition, I kashen it through Liban. So that was a big, huge machlokes haposkim. The machlokes in Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Cutler, the Rav, everyone had something to say about this. Is Kabbalah Kapoto mean that I can use that as a way to measure temperature or not? That's a big enough community, you know, that for everyone here, I assume, has a self-cleaning oven in their house. But until not all that long ago, there was a thing called the old-style ovens. Old-style ovens didn't get past 550. That was the absolute maximum. 550 is usually assumed not to be high enough to be Liban. So the shayla is, how can you kasher an oven? So Moshe says, you can't. Moshe says, you can't. There's no way to kasher an oven. Impossible. Moshe said, you have to put oven inserts, have a little bit of light. Unless you go in with a blowtorch, you go every single step of the way, you know, blow yourself up with the house. So Moshe basically was impossible to kasher an oven. People used to do a blowtorch different way, but enough of that. So other folks could disagree and say, no, that if you turn on the oven to the highest, so then you know that you reach Kabbalah Kapoto. Means by definition, the oven never made it past 550. So if you turn it on for an hour, it's 550. So it is Kabbalah Kapoto. That's what Ibn Cutler's opinion was. Rav Shimon Eider, I've quoted him many times, Rav Shimon Eider wrote all the svar in Ruchas Pesach, 3 weeks, Balmina, Mechanigan. He said a lot of that had been in place for many, many, many from Jews back in the 1960s and 70s. And Dr. Byrne, remember, right? Remember, Mr. Alty, remember the old days of Shimon Eider's svar? He's still on the Stolte. Yeah, Mr. Alty, remember those days, the good old days? No, Dr. Byrne, remember those days?
Say it again.
Rabbi Shimon Eider's svar. Remember his svar? You know, the Hilchos Shabbos, the blue svar.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I have him.
I remember the other 3 weeks and on Dal Minim. He said a person back in the early 1970s didn't go shopping for lulav. If you were like a shtickle ben Torah, you didn't go shopping for lulav without Rabbi Shimon Eider's book. And if you wanted to know, he set the minhag of all the camps, all the sleepaway camps in America. Well, whatever they do, don't do in the 3 weeks and 9 days. He was the one. Him and he used to tell Rav Moshe, he asked him every single thing about what the guidelines should be for all the summer camps. So he said everything in stone, and they still follow the minhag 50 years later. So in Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer, so he quotes in his Pesach Svarim, so he quotes this machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Cutler about the kashering of ovens. Rav Moshe was opposed to all the kashering of ovens in America, and Rav Aaron Cutler was maker, as long as you turn it on to the highest. So Rav Aaron used to tell people to turn on the oven to the highest for a few hours. So if you turn it on for a few hours, then you know it'll reach as high as possible. So he writes in the bottom that he told explained to Rav Aaron that you don't have to leave it on for 5 hours. If you leave it on for an hour, it doesn't get any hotter after an hour. It's the hottest it's going to get, so it's not going to get any higher. So I think Rav Aaron said or didn't say, said, okay, so leave it on for now. And others pointed out, leave it on for 45 minutes. Also, you have to reach the point where the oven makers will tell you, this is it. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any hotter. You leave it on for 6 years, it's not going to get any hotter than it. So according to that svara of the Mekila, Rav Aaron, Rav Eldon, and others on the way, so that would be sufficient. We're going to get back to our story, but here the Ramban is saying almost the opposite of this. He's saying that the liquid that you're using is going to make or break it depending on whether it's doing please or plate. So the bottom line, this is the famous sheet of Ramban. You cannot kasher with other liquid because they don't have that koyach to be mafled properly. So the Ramban himself realizes that he's running against the potential Gemara of Masechet Zvachim. Gemara Zvachim at Sadivav has a whole discussion about Kashri Kalim, but the primary purpose of that discussion was not really what we call today Kashri Kalim, it was Kashri Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there are two different parshas of Kashri Kalim. Parshas Tzah, that's the parsha of the Beis HaMikdash, there's Parshas Matas, which speaks to us. The Parshas Matas, when they came after the Kachim Midian, they got the Tzimidian, so the Torah describes, called the Bashir of Eish, Liban HaGol, etc. Kalim appears. The Parshas Tzav, the Torah speaks about if you have a kli that we use to cook things in the Mesa Mikdash. We spoke a lot about this in the beginning of the 8th parak. Who remembers what that calls? No, what is that? What's the Parsha of Kashrut and Kelim in the Mesa Mikdash called?
Rika Shtifa.
Okay? You have to, Rika, Marka, should remind you, you have to Kashrut like a goat, and then you have to wash out the cold water afterwards as part of that process. Marka should remind. There's a Tosis in the end of it, it's all right, that there's a minig that after we Kashrut Kelim, so we throw in cold water. The Tosh says, I don't know where that minute comes from. It says, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to do that. Because that's a Tosh and Chumash, work for Shabbat Revive. When you cash it, you have to do that. Some of Shem say, as in Stam, it says, Eichel HaMikdash. I want to remember the Beis HaMikdash. It's like the Shem of Yerushalayim kind of a thing. Not really relevant to Kashm and Kalim. And other Shem try to give some kind of a halachic technical reasons why the minute became to wash off the Kalim afterwards with cold water. It's not Ma'akiv, but there was a minute Yisrael for many, many years. When you finish Kashm, you take it and you wash off in cold water. So some say it's a throwback to the Beis HaMikdash. Some of Shem says, Eichel HaMikdash. But there is a parasha in the Chumash of Marek Mishim B'Mayim. So the Gemara in Zivachim, the Tzadivav, talks about all the intricacies of Kashm and Kalim Mikdash. And one of the differences that the Gemara says is that when it comes to kashering in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says very clearly, Umarak Mishutaf Abayim. It's got to be Mamish Mayim. The Gemara says, B'mayim v'lo b'yayim. You can't use wine to kasher. That's got to be Mamish Halachni. It's got to be water. In that context, the Gemara calls a possibility that maybe that din of B'mayim v'lo b'yayim was only said for Mikdash. Maybe it wasn't said for Chumun. Let's say for Truma, other things which are not real Mikdash. So let's say a Kohen used the pot to cook Truma, and now he wants the kashrut so Yisrael can use the pot. So the Gemara seems to say that there's no din of v'lo b'yayin. You can use yayin with the kashrut. So the Rabban says that doesn't bode well for my theory. Here I'm giving you a whole shibbutar yichul nafkur ches, telling you that you're not allowed to use other liquids to kashrut because the other liquids just don't do the trick. They're just metzias advarim, they just fall short. And now I have a Gemara in Zvachim that seems to say, no, it's not true. That when you're dealing with Mikdash, especially this Kosov, the Mayim, the Yayim, do me something. I can't use Yayim. But if not for the existence of Kosov, Mikdash, it sounds like everything would have been hunky dory. Wouldn't it have been hunky dory? Isn't it a problem? Rabban says, what are you talking to me about some kutchim of risk and dire that the Mayim, the Yayim? Typically, it's not going to do the trick because the world of Madam. What are you telling me? The Torah reasons you can't cash in. The other reasons, I just told you the chemistry, the physics is, yeah, exactly the tricks. So what's the Gemara talking about? So the Ramban says that Gemara is a challenge to him. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says that if you look really, really carefully at that Gemara, again, I didn't go through all the Ramban them together with you, but take a look at the Siddur Mamakavis, it's actually probably Machlekes Amaroyim. Is that statement even true? When the Gemara says that Mayim will be Ayin, is there's a cost of a Truma, for Kachim, not everyone believes in that. So the Ramban says, yeah. My pshat is wrong according to one opinion of the Gemara, but that opinion of the Gemara is not the accepted opinion. So the Ramban concedes that his answer, that his shtickle Torah, that other liquids can kasher, is not muskim, is not partial at all. And he concedes that there are days the Gemara disagree, but he's still convinced that he's right anyway. And other Rishonim argue with Ramban, say, no, he's not right. Means if there's a day in the Gemara that says he's not right, he's not right. What do you make a machlikis and say someone disagrees and the machlikis is like, oh, chagadya. He says if the Gemara presents at one point that you can kasher with other liquids, so in the end of the day, we're not sure what the thing is. We're not 100% sure. Can you kasher with other liquids or not? So according to the Ramban, it's a non-starter. You can't kasher, halacha ma'aseh, you can't kasher other liquids because they can't be maflid. And other Rishonim say, no, there's a little pashut. For Mikdash, maybe not, maybe for Chumun you can. My enough community, it's a big enough community. This is a real enough community, Ladina. There's sometimes you have this very, very fancy machinery that, let's say, was used in a tray for plant or something. And now they want to make the kosher run, so they want to kasher the machinery. So they have to kasher the machinery. So great, we're going to do our goal on the machinery. We're going to run boiling water through the entire machinery. So the plant tells that's very nice and everything. But this piece of machinery is a $10 billion piece of machinery. You're not running boiling water, have a mashgiach standing there and, you know, making sure that that's not happening. So we're not taking this machinery apart and putting it into a pot of water, you know, and air Pesach and make sure. And that's not a way to kasher a $1 million piece of machinery. So what can be used. Sometimes what can be used is, let's say for very often it's something that's producing oil. And let's say the last run was some kind of trace oil. We want to kasha this machinery, so let's run, make a run with oil. So we'll use now kosher oil, and that'll be the kashering oil. So we'll kasha the machinery with boiling hot oil, and then we'll discard that oil, and now the machine will be kosher for the next kosher run that we want to do. So can we use oil to kasher the factory, kasher the machinery? So the post can say, it depends. We hold it this Ramban of it. If you accept this Ramban, it's a non-starter. That oil is like, yeah, those things don't have the kosher to be maful, to be magil. And if you're saying, well, how you throw me in? There's no such that physics and chemistry is partial that truth is your mamash, yesh me'ayin. It's not true. The Gemara says it works, and therefore it works. And trying to finish Gemara, so that it would be acceptable. So that's a running shayla. That's a shayla about can you use other kinds of liquids to potentially kasher in situations where water is not an option. So that's a question. That's a shayla. So we wouldn't run a factory that way. Maybe sometimes there are other considerations, other coolers, other reasons to be making, but that is an open machlekes mishanim about whether other liquids could be potentially acceptable. And the Ramban got his whole theory of mivlas and plates being different one from another. He got that out of us. In the end of this long thesis about the plates and the plates, where thesis tried really, really hard to use Rabbeinu Tam to defend the practice of Hagolah by arguing stuff's going out, not going back in, and thesis rejected it. But thesis felt, they felt really, really bad. They felt like they failed us. That they were all ready to solve the world's problems of kasher and kelim, and they couldn't come up with a great answer. So they kind of fall back on some of the old stuff. You know, those who remember from the previous things, who remember is, how did we solve this problem months and months and months ago? Back in August, when we first bumped into this problem. Right? It was one of the first issues we had. What?
Put in a bigger pot.
Oh, so what? A great solution was put into a bigger pot. Yeah, until what? Until you reach the point of, it's your biggest pot, okay? So now, where are you going to put that pot? So we have a problem. So never say die. So we got to come up with a better solution. So what's another solution?
One was that there is none.
Do it multiple times.
Oh, Ellie said do it multiple times. What's the matter of that? So if you do it multiple times, so then you can come up with the following chat. Eventually, you reach Shisha. Means right now you won't reach shishim. I can't take a big pot and fill up with water. So you have shishim with the water connected to the pot because the math doesn't add up. The volume of water is never going to be shishim connected to the thickness of the walls of the pot. So the numbers aren't going to add up. So what can I do? What I can do is I'll kasher it once and then I'll discard the water, do it a few times. And eventually, slowly but surely, some of the bleeds will come out. They won't all go back in. And after a few, four, five, six times, I'll be pretty comfortable that I solved the world's problems. That was a great solution until Tosis discovered in Chulin that runs into who Shita does that run into? Which Risha would not approve of that model of doing multiple kasher? That's a Rebbeinu Tam violation of what principle?
None.
Because the first time a kasher is not enough water to be bought on the tam, what happened to the water? It just became treif. That's not good. So the entire water became treif. It's not nevela. So the Tais says you can't do that. That was the Tais that we can't discover. Who remembers? That was the Tais that said the Tais is what? Who's going to tell me?
The Raisa,
right? The Shari Surim. Because Tais said, how could the Chumash tell you the kasher kelim? There's no way to do it. And they said, doing it multiple times isn't going to do the trick because of Chichnas Nevela. So Kivega says, oh, he discovered a Taisha. He said, oh, it's happened from Doch Chichnas Derais against the Ra. Does that ring a bell? Vaguely. Small bell, somewhat bell. Back to August. Okay, good. June, 10 months ago we spoke about this. So Taisha really, really is not doing well for us. At the end, Taisha kind of throws his hands up and says, you know what? What should I do with the big pot? Nothing. It can't solve the problem. Minatoria can't solve the problem. Tosha said, oh, maybe just wait till it's in a binyomo. Tosha says, yeah, that's great, but that's not the answer to Minatora, because if it's in a binyomo, they're not bothering kashering anyway, Minatora. So Tosha kind of throws the hands up and says, yeah, it could be the stakano solution. Very disappointing, very distressing, but what can you do? That's what Tosha says. But here, Tosha still feels bad for us. Tosha says, you know what? I won't be able to solve all your problems, but I may be able to solve your Erev Pesach problems. I'm going to come up with an unbelievable way to kasher kelim for Pesach and not to be so worried and so concerned about the bleas coming out, going back in, back in, out in, etc. I'm gonna have a cooler, catch this, everybody said, a cooler shumchametz. Now that's like a startling statement. Those who are beginning to prepare for Pesachim Shul the next year, so the first time the Beis Menach tells us chumer the chametz, but it's true. But there are a couple of cooler shumchametz also. This may be one of them. Says Tosfos, issues that concern us with chaz or nevelos and treifos may not concern us with chametz. We may believe it or not, the only area of kasher that we may be home free with, says Tosfos, is chametz and erev Pesach. Again, this is already a far cry from where our sugya started with Mevul Bol and Mevul Pons. The Ramban, you know, introduced us to Kashrin Kalim. Taisus introduced us. All the Rishonim start to connect some of these klolim and this sugya to Kashrin Kalim. And now Taisus comes up with the last ditch attempt. It's of a whole year. Taisus has been trying every few months. This problem keeps on resurfacing. We can't seem to pin it down a solution. Taisus says, you know, I don't have an absolute solution for everything, but for Chumash and Pesach, I'm going to find a solution. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow, I want to just pick up the end of this Taisus on, it's the end of our Taisus, and it picks up on the Sugyas and Pesach and the Flamin and the Gemara and the Taisim. I just want to talk, it's a very, very important memory, very, 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 I want to just finish up the Shiraim and the Sugya. It's not such a long Sugya. I'll finish tomorrow. We'll finish that. And then maybe we'll get started on the next one. Not, we'll see. I want to spend a little time, you know, we'll talk about other things also. Before we start the Shurim, so I offered if people want any specific topics that interest them, like kind of a little bit of a little machshava, a little bit of a Halacha Maisa Shir, or off the beaten path, I don't know, Negei Batin or something. Something. Anyone wants anything, you know, a little things we don't get a chance to talk about during the year. So I'm definitely open for suggestions. Maybe you can't take Shimon, can't take me directly. If there's any grandiose thing I'll think about, I'm not saying unless I do it, but at least I'll think about it. I think it's an appropriate context for this year. So, but we will mention tomorrow. We'll start and we'll try to finish up the last, the end of this circuit. We'll see if we get a little bit of a skull into the next one. And then as the week goes on, we'll try to spend a little bit of time with other things also. Okay. Wish everyone a wonderful day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, be well, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Shkana, thank you.
Oh, Rabbi.
Yeah.
I'm having a minion at my house. There's an elderly man that...
Oh, yeah, I didn't get a chance to answer last night. Yeah.
Are you able to use a microphone or...
Hold on, let me just notice, turn off the... Is the recording off?
No, it's still recording. The bottom, it should...